Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, when Andy Kavanagh got his heart transplant in 1986, he was told that his post-operative life expectancy might not be that long, perhaps a couple of years. But thankfully, Andy is still around, making him Ireland's longest living heart transplant recipient and the second longest in the world. Andy, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. So when you were only a young fella when it was first kind of noticed something was up. And I think, as I understand it, at the start, you thought maybe it was a bad flu or something you had.
Yeah, I was 19 years of age and I had a very bad flu at that stage. And like every young person, you just sort of think it's going to just go and you'll brush it off. And it just progressively got worse. And I was using the likes of Lemsips and, you know, other cough remedies and things like that. But it wasn't shifting at all. So eventually, reluctantly, I went to my local GP, who referred me then to Jervis Street Hospital, which was still open at the time in 1986. And I had a chest x-ray and I was leaving there, and on my way home I collapsed, and next thing I remember I was waking up in the ICU department.
Oh God. And then was it then that had they discovered what it was at that stage?
No, it was a couple of weeks later. I was kept in the hospital for a couple of weeks and there was routine tests done and everything else, and then I was diagnosed with, and I was referred then over to the Mater Hospital, because obviously the Mater was known as the major heart hospital at that time.
Mm. And they were, and at that stage you knew that it was you had heart disease.
I knew I had a heart disease of some sort, but it's like when you're 19 years of age and told you have cardiomyopathy, like it just goes over your head. You don't know what it is. So then I had to go for a routine angiogram to just see how much damage had been done to the heart. And that showed up that the heart was severely damaged. There we are.
Yeah. And so then, like, how long was the wait for a transplant?
Well, I took sick in September 85. I was transplanted in May 86.
Okay, so quite a long wait.
Yeah, it was 9 or 10 months then. 10 months, yeah.
Yeah, and that, in those days, am I wrong in this, that, like, heart transplants were still a fairly rare operation in Ireland?
Yeah, there was five previous recipients of heart transplants before myself.
Right.
Unfortunately, four of them had passed away. There was one remain. Christy O'Hanlon would have been the chap that was alive at that stage. Now, you know, he was the one remaining survivor at the time.
Yeah. Were you scared?
Initially I was, but then it became reality that if you didn't die from the heart failure, or if you didn't get a transplant, you were going to die either way from heart failure, or you were going to die after having the transplant if it wasn't successful. So it was an option. It was going to give you a chance to live. And that's basically what it was, really, you know.
Yeah, indeed. And so the heart became available and you had the transplant. And what was the recuperation period like after that?
Recuperation period, it was actually fairly quick, because within 2 days of having the transplant, they sort of get you up out of the bed straight away. And obviously you're in an intensive care unit, and it's just yourself and the nurse in this cubicle. So they brought in a set of foot pedals, you know, just to sort of get the legs exercising. And it was just an amazing feeling to do that, because prior to that, I wouldn't have been able to do anything like that at all. And there we are, prior to the transplant, there we are.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so you almost immediately started to feel better then?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah, within 2 or 3 day period, yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose you hadn't kind of realised up to that point that how good you should have been feeling for a young man.
Exactly, you didn't realise you were that sick until you when you start cycling using your legs and you're not out of breath and you're not feeling tired and everything else then, you know.
Yeah. Now, when did you put the ad in the paper?
That would have been for the 4th anniversary of my transplant, and obviously for the 4th anniversary of the death of the young lad that his mother donated the heart.
Right, okay. And because I assume you put an advert in the paper saying, I don't know who you are, but thank you, kind of thing, and then...
Very, very similar, yeah. Just straightforward like that. Thank you very much for this opportunity and chance. Love, Andy Kavanagh. That's something similar to that. There we are.
Mm. And then the family got in contact with you.
Yeah, it was the mother actually made the initial contact, I'm not too sure how she actually found out where I lived, but she knew I was from Coolock, obviously, because there would had been a lot of coverage, you know, for a young lad having a transplant leak going home and all that. A lot of the papers would have covered that, the story back then, you know.
Mm. And the donor, he was, what age was he?
He was, his name is David Russell. He was 19 years of age. Himself and his friend were coming home from a disco in Drogheda, and subsequently the both of them were knocked down and killed by a drunk driver.
God. But I suppose, yeah, you're living comfort to, you know, to his family that...
Oh, yeah, a huge comfort, you know, like I go down and visit her at least twice a year. I go down on David's anniversary, and I also go down on Gertie's birthday.
Yeah.
And we'd be in regular contact on the phone as well, you know, throughout the year as well, you know.
So, I mean, as I said in the introduction, the prognosis was that, you know, you might only get a couple of years out of this. Was there some point at which doctors were throwing up their hands saying, you're a miracle, or we got it completely wrong?
Not at the initial stages, I don't think so, because I was doing so well, you know, and like, and they were just happy to see me, like, year by year, you know, progressing, getting better and stronger, everything else. And you weren't counting the years as they were going along. You were just sort of, geez, that's another little milestone gone. That's, you know, like things like that now, you know, when you see something happening, you just say, wow, that's I've achieved that, you know, and that's good now, you know.
Mm, yeah. And but now there were a few other health bumps you had along the way as well, as I understand it.
Ah, yes, like all medications, like medications are wonderful. They do the job they're supposed to do, but they do have side effects. And unfortunately, one of the side effects is it can affect your kidneys. And I was diagnosed with cancer of the kidney in 2000. And subsequently, I had the kidney removed and I ended up on dialysis a couple of years later because the medication, because I'd only one remaining kidney, there was a lot of pressure put on the one remaining kidney. And subsequently, as I said, I was on dialysis, and then I got a transplant then in, trying to work out my maths here now, 2007, I think it was.
Right. Okay, so you've a donated heart and a donated kidney.
Donated kidney as well, yeah.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. Somebody wants to know, do you have to think about putting your heart under any stress, or you know, is your heart like a perfectly normal, healthy heart?
Perfect, normally healthy heart. I do everything that anyone else would do, you know, like I walk at least 10K a day. I go to the gym a couple of days a week. I walk, I do everything else. I do everything that the normal person would do.
Yeah. Okay. And it's quite extraordinary. And do you have any inkling as to who donated the kidney to you?
No, unfortunately, I'd no way of finding that one out. It was basically pure luck that we found out that it was Katie Russell who donated her son's heart. It was just the accident and myself getting transplanted at the same time. It just sort of clicked together as such, you know.
Yeah. And as somebody else has texted in to point out, you have someone else's heart longer than you have your own.
Yeah. I was 19 years of age. Like, I have this twice as long, you know.
Yeah.
Like, 38 years I have this one. Like, my other one's only 19 years old, you know.
Yeah. So, obviously, having an organ donor card is kind of important.
Of course. Like everybody should have this conversation with any of their families, with any of their loved ones. You know, everybody's involved in WhatsApp chats and everything. Like, it's so easy to do now. Just make sure that everyone knows what your wishes are, that you do want to become an organ donor if anything, unfortunately, was to happen to you, you know.
Yeah. Andy, thanks a million for talking with us today, and many years of health and happiness to you. That's Andy Kavanagh there, Ireland's longest living heart transplant survivor, also with a donated kidney.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.